30th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Start reading at verse number 1. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his princes were at Zorn, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be a help nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. The burden of the beast of the south into the land of trouble and anguish, and whence come the young and the old lion, the viper and fiery flying serpent, they will carry their riches upon the shoulders of young asses, and their treasures upon the bunches of camels, to a people that shall not profit them. For the Egyptians shall help in vain, and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits, get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. And he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a shred to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit. Let us pray. Father, again I thank you tonight for the precious word of God. Ask you, Lord, to help us. This preacher needs your help tonight, needs your power, needs your wisdom, as I always do. And I ask you, Father, to just help us as we preach to be a blessing to these people through the preaching of the word of God. Now, Father, your will be done in each one of our lives. Pray if there's any here without Christ, will God they be saved tonight. Pray for Christians, Lord, that we'd have a desire, and maybe through this message it would help us to be just a little bit better for you than we've ever been before, be more dedicated and more concerned about souls. So I just pray that you'll just help us and use us tonight. And, Lord, we'll give you the glory and the praise for it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. I think probably by our preaching and messages that I bring from time to time, I think you understand and I think you feel the same way. I'm quite concerned about our country, the direction it's going. And I feel like more than likely you feel that same, and sometimes we might say frustration. Seems like it's not spiritually getting better. Economically, it may be doing all right, but spiritually, it's going downhill. When men and nations lose their faith in God, turn away from God, what they do then is begin to fail to seek and obey the will of God. And what they do next is just simply in progress. They begin then to turn to other nations and other people for help instead of turning to God. This is exactly what Israel done when they looked to Egypt, and that's what the scripture is all about here. They looked to Egypt and they went to Egypt for help instead of God Almighty for help. And I believe with all of my heart we're seeing a lot of that in our nation and a lot of that in maybe homes and, let me say, even sometimes in churches. We're seeing the very same thing happening. We're seeing our nation trusting in other nations instead of in the great and wonderful God. that formed this nation. We see many times churches going out and seeking, instead of the power of God, seeking many times the wisdom of men. And that's one of the things that we must beware of. Above all, in Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and I say that for any church, we need God's power. We need His wisdom, and we need His power. Now, He works through men, but we need the power of God in our churches. And we need Him. We don't need to go to outside organizations and people and try to seek the help we need. We've got God who can provide everything for us. Everything. And when that happens, you'll notice at the end of verse number 1, it says, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. When that happens, that's exactly what takes place. When we begin to trust in other nations instead of God, or individuals and instead of God, we just begin to compound sin upon sin. We just begin to build that until we can come to that place where we realize that we're off and we're not doing right. We turn once again back to the Lord and seek His help. You see, sin never goes alone. Once someone sins, usually the next step is to try to lie and get out of that sin. It's a continuing thing. And so the best thing to do is just not sin to start with. Best thing to do is just do right, you see. But that's what happens. Sin then becomes a habit in our life. And what has been done once, more than likely will be done again. And did you know that's the way they catch criminals? They watch a pattern of a criminal and they see what he's done and they watch this pattern. And a lot of times they look at that and follow that and are able to catch criminals because it's a pattern that's followed over and over. And so Satan, he knows that once something is committed, a sin is committed, it's very easy to do it again. And that's why your preacher preaches, and to our young people, preaches to all of us, but I'm preaching to these young sweethearts of a young age. I try to preach to them, say, don't ever get started in these things. Just don't ever let it happen, you see, and stay away from sin, you see. You'll be so much better off, you see. And it won't be then, you won't have to worry about that pattern being to develop in your life. So what happens, though, if you'll remember, Israel had this same pattern in their life. They was constantly turning to God, getting help, getting out of trouble, and then turning away from God. You just look through the Bible over and over and over again. It happens. Book of Judges is just full of it. But all through the Bible, you find that same principle found. Israel is coming along good. They're walking with God. Everything's going fine. And all at once, they go into following idols and all other kinds of things and get away from God. So I'm simply saying to you, it has been a pattern for Israel to do that. And I really hate to say this, but I must say it. To some degree, over the history of the church, the pattern has been there to do that very same thing. Why is it that years ago, some of the greatest fire-eating preachers that was around was in the Methodist church? I mean, I'm telling you, I like to read some old Sam Jones. Man, he was a Methodist, but I want to tell you something, I'd love to read Sam Jones. I mean, he'll scald you alive. And he don't mind a bit doing it. I mean, he's some of these old-time preachers, you see. That was in some of these denominations years ago that, I mean, were just good old preachers. I mean, just preached the Word of God. What's happened? Because of denominations, they've slipped away from God and they've compromised in their stand on the Bible, and now they're doing a lot of things that's contrary to the Word of God. And I'm saying it becomes a pattern. And I'm fearful that the independent Baptists are headed in that same direction. I see it in independent circles. I see many of the standards beginning to drop. Many of the things that the independent Baptists used to stand for beginning to go by the wayside. And we see this, and it's discouraging to see this, because you know that that's a pattern developing. Now, that doesn't mean certainly that there isn't great independent Baptist churches out there. There is, and I'm thankful that I'm an independent Baptist. That's what I want to be. But I'm just simply saying to you that that pattern can develop in us just as well as it can in some of these other denominations. So we don't want to be so proud and look around and say, boy, we've got it all. No, let's just keep the Bible before us and let's say, this is our goal, this is our gauge, not some other church that slipped off here, slipped off there. This is what we want to be. According to the Bible, the Word of God, you see. And not get into that pattern of slipping away as Israel did, and then just sin is added upon sin, you see. And the main sin he's dealing with here is the fact that they was going to Egypt for help instead of to the invisible God who could help them do anything that needed to be done. And so we find in verse number 1, it says, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin." The Bible simply says, God said, yeah, they took counsel all right, but they didn't get it from me. Now, I've mentioned this quite often. It's a concern in my heart for myself as well as you and for every other Christian. But I see this developing constantly in Christians' lives. I'm simply saying to you, we don't enough put our trust and faith in this old book, the counsel of God. We come up with our own little ideas about things. And we begin to trust in what we think might work and what we think is right. And all at once we've got our trust away from the living God. Folks, this Bible is God's Word. Now you know that. It's the Word of God. And we can't ever afford to get away from the Bible, the Word of God. And when you and I are doing things contrary to the Bible, the Word of God, we are wrong, God's not. Amen? So we just want to say we need to take our counsel from God. Amen? That's where we need to get our counsel, is from our wonderful God. Well, Israel got counsel, he says, but he didn't get it from me, God said, you see. And so what happens is when we reject the counsel of God, we're simply saying, God, we don't need your help, and we're not interested in what you say. Now, you say, Brother Austin, I don't feel that way. But if you don't listen to God's counsel, that's what we're saying. Because the counsel of God is right here in his book. Everything you and I need for life is right here. I mean, there isn't anything we face in life that is not right here in this Bible. Principles, precepts of the Word of God is there to teach us and to train us and show us how to live and what to do in certain situations. Amen? So who do we need counsel from? Do we need it from men's traditions and men's thoughts and ideas? No, we need it from the counsel of God Almighty, backed up by principles and precepts of the Word of God. Amen? So that's what we need. Now, Egypt here was the only power that Israel could look to outside of God's power that would be able to defeat Assyria. Assyria was going to defeat them. Assyria was going to come against them. And they was scared of it. So what they done is they went down to Egypt to try to get help instead of getting help from God. Now, folks, if you don't be careful, we as individuals, now that sounds like a big thing. That's a nation thing doing this. But if you don't be careful, you've got to bring that down into our individual lives. We've got to be careful that we as individuals don't do that very same thing. We look around and we see we need help in this and we need help in that. Well, who should we go to? We have a great God. Amen. We have a great God. He can do anything. So I'm saying that we need to get counsel of God, you see. Over in Hosea, he said in the 8th chapter, the 4th verse, they have set up kings, but he said, but not of me. He said, they have made princes, and I knew it not. Now, we know God knows everything. God wasn't saying I didn't know about it. God was saying it was not of me that it happened. I wasn't directing the setting up of these princes. I was not directing the setting up of these kings. They'd done it on their own. Amen? So here's where we find Israel. We find him here going against the Lord, going against the Word of God, going down to Egypt for help. Now, there's basically two things here that they did. They have a sin here. First of all, the first one is the desertion of God Almighty. They deserted God. They walked away from God. They would not take his counsel, as we found there in verse number 1. There was times in Israel's history when they wouldn't move without God saying so. You remember when they come out of Egypt, and when the cloud and the cloud by day and the fire by night, and I mean they moved whenever that was there, and when it was supposed to stay, when it stopped, they stopped. They moved when it moved. I mean, they wouldn't move. They wouldn't do anything without God saying it was all right and leading them. But it changed. And it came to the place where pretty soon they was doing their own thing, whatever they wanted to do, and they was doing and making kings and all kinds of things when God had not instructed that to be done, and God did not basically want them to have a king. He wanted to be their king and their leader. There was a time, let me say to you, that America would not move without the counsel of God. Years ago, we had Congress. We had a Congress up there, and I'm talking about way back there, that got on their knees and cried out to God Almighty for guidance and help. and all that they needed. I mean, they started their day with that. There was a situation to come into this great company, country in which our congressmen, and I'm not saying all of them was Christians, but our congressmen, our presidents up there, they got on their knees and they sought the counsel of God Almighty. They wouldn't move until they got it. Now we don't have it. I'm appalled. I mean, I'm really appalled. I'm appalled at the fact we never hear the name of Jesus Christ out of our council, out of our Congress. You never hear them standing up. You never hear our president standing up and saying we not only need God. You know, you can say God and that can be a long, broad term. But you never hear him or the congressman getting up and saying we need the counsel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and call him out for what he is, truly the Son of God. We need to hear that from our great government up there. We need to hear Jesus Christ uplifted and honored. I told you here a while back, and just mention it quickly, but the United Nations sits on our shores up there. That great building up there sits on the shores and won't even allow the name of Jesus Christ to be mentioned. Now come on, folks, where are we as a nation? What a shame it is. We've sought, and that's what they're doing in the United Nations. They're going out here seeking the help of other nations, treaties that don't mean a thing. They're not worth the paper that are written on. And we're seeking the help of other nations when we ought to be seeking the help of God. Listen, those who seek the help of God are always going to be a people who's by themselves. The majority of the world is not going to seek God Almighty's help. We need to be a nation that stands up and says, I don't care what all you other nations do. Doesn't make any difference what all you nations do. We're going to trust God. We're going to believe in Him. And that's what we ought to be doing today. But that's what Israel done, you see. They turned away from their God, walked away from Him, you see. Not only that, they distrusted God. You notice in verse number 2, it says, they walked to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Yes, they turned, they walked down to Egypt, and what did they go down there for? They wanted to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh. They wanted to trust in the shadow of Egypt instead of the shadow of the Almighty. Listen, real quick, let's turn over to Psalms, the 91st Psalm. Boy, that's a marvelous Psalm. We'll take time to go over there and read just a little bit of that 91st Psalm. You notice in that verse that I just read to you there, and Isaiah talked about how that they was trusting in the shadow of Egypt. Let me give you a better shadow to trust in. Amen. The Bible says in 91, Psalms 91, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. See, that's the shadow we ought to be abiding under, not the shadow of Egypt or some other country. He says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Amen. Boy, isn't that good? You see, God is saying, you trust in me. See, I'm your help, I'm your strength, I'm your refuge, I'm your fortress. You just trust in me. And he said, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Who's going to deliver us? Egypt? Russia? Some of these other countries? No. God said, I'll do the delivering. I'll take care of that. And he says, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler, his truth, the word of God. And he says, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. So you don't have to be afraid. Don't have to worry about it. You just trust in me. And he says, nor for the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. You see, they was trusting in the shadow of Egypt. And God wants us to trust in the shadow of Him, the Almighty, under His wings, you see. That's where our trust ought to be. Not just as a nation, but as a father and a mother leading a home, as a church going forward for God. Where should our trust be? Our trust ought to be in that great God, our wonderful God, you see. Get back there and quit looking for the world for help, you see. The world has nothing for us. We need God, you see, to help us, you see. Now, what was that mistrust based on? Basically, it was based upon materialism. You see, they preferred the visible army of Egypt over the invisible God. See, they could see Egypt and all its power, but they couldn't see God. Israel looked up and seen old Syria, they about ready to attack them. They said, man, look at the armaments of Israel. You see what they've got? They can just absolutely destroy Assyria. And instead of looking to that invisible God who could do anything that needed to be done, they looked up at Egypt and run down to Egypt and said, "Help!" Amen. Now, folks, listen. They didn't trust in God Almighty. You know why? Because they could see Egypt. See all of its armaments, see all of its great armies. I mean, it was powerful, you see. They could count the weapons, they could handle the weapons, they could see the soldiers, and they could say, "Oh boy, they're the ones we need to get help from." Instead of comparing to the unseen, invisible God whose power is so great that could done anything that be needed to be done for Israel to deliver them, they called out to Egypt. Now, I'm simply saying, you know, years back, it's interesting. Maybe one day we'll do this, but it's interesting. You go back to the wars of Israel, and you go back to the 1948 war when they became a nation. And the Arab countries around them, as soon as they become a nation, made a determination to run them into the Mediterranean Sea. And let me tell you, they did not have any help. They was left alone. Britain walked out of there and left them. Now let me tell you today why Britain is in the shape it's in. They turned against God's people. You curse Israel, you'll be cursed. Bless Israel, you'll be blessed. And so they walked away from that, and they was defeated. I mean, they was defeated. One time, I suppose, the United Nations done one thing that might have been good. They called for a ceasefire. And for 30 days, there was a ceasefire. And by the time that 30 days was done, Israel had gotten enough weapons in and armament in that when the war immediately begun again, they run their enemies right out of their country. 1948, and they become a nation. 1967 war was approximately the same situation. They done the same thing. They was attacked. And they again, I think that was, if I remember right, that was what they called the Six-Day War. In 1967, I believe it was the Six-Day War. And in 6 days, they defeated their enemies. Let me say something. If you read some of the stories about that, they claim that the enemies even told stories after that, that they saw guns and things that wasn't even there. I mean, they looked and they got fearful because there was guns everywhere and there was armament everywhere and they wasn't even there. It's what they claim. In 1973 war, they claimed that there was tank commanders that was coming, and of course that was a great tank war, and they came up on Israel and in fact just stopped for some reason or other in areas where they could have won the battles, and they stopped and didn't even know why. You want to know why? Because of the great invisible God that was looking after his people. It wasn't a people going out. Now let me say to you that America almost waited too late in 1973 war. They hesitated. They did not rearm Israel. And the rest of the nations of the world did not do it. And they almost waited too late. But finally we did enter in and help rearm them. But it was almost too late. But his great God, their great God, took care of them. You see, you didn't have to have Egypt. You didn't have to have all these countries. What I'm simply saying to you folks is we need to understand that our trust must be in God and not in people, not in nations. Our trust is in God. Now, you and I know that God uses people, but our trust is in God. Amen. That's where our faith, that's where our trust is at. You remember when Elisha was down in Dotham? The Syrian army had them surrounded. And that servant of Elisha's was so scared, he thought he was dead. He wanted to know from Elisha, "What are we going to do?" Elisha looked to God and said, "Will you open this guy's eyes?" That's my translation. "Will you open this guy's eyes?" And God opened his eyes, and he saw their horses and chariots of fire all the way around them. Protection from God. What I'm saying to you is, folks, why are we fearing these other nations, and why do we fear the world out here when we got God's protection? This world is powerful. Yes, it is, but it isn't powerful like our God is powerful. And we fear, I mean, even as Christians sometimes, but we fear what the world's going to do to us. We're afraid of what the world's going to, restrictions and things that the world is going to put on us. We don't have to fear. We just trust God, no matter what happens. We just trust God, you see. That's where our faith ought to be, not down in Egypt somewhere. And so we find America is distrusting God Almighty. They're putting their faith, their trust in treaties that isn't worth a thing. We're signing treaties all over this world. They don't mean a thing. They're not worth the paper they're written on. If you're talking about dealing with people who don't even believe in God. Talking about a nation over there, Russia. Do you think they're going to honor their treaties when it comes right down to it? Of course not. Our trust should not be in Russia. Our trust should be in God Almighty. Notice in verse 3, if we go back there to Isaiah, he says, "Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion." You know, the trip down to Egypt was sure different than the trip up from Egypt. If you follow this through, the trip down to Egypt, they had high hopes. Boy, Egypt is going to help us. It's kind of like that illustration of that boy that came out of a seminar, and seminary, and he was all prepared. He was voted in his class to be the one that who would succeed the most. He had an opportunity to preach in a church, and in fact, there was a lot of preachers there and everything. And he had this great opportunity to preach, and they say when he went up, he walked up on the platform and was just like this, you know, and looking out over everybody, and just he was really going to do it up good. Well, he lost his train of thought, lost his notes, couldn't get it together, hummed around up there and stammered around for a long time and just messed up everything. And finally, when he got, finally just closed it and got done, he walked down all humble like this, got down, hanging his head, got down and sat on there. When they got the services over, an old preacher walked up to him and said, "Son, if you'd have just went up like you came down, you'd been all right." Walk up there humbly, you'd have probably come down having done something for God. But you walked up there in pride. That's why God puts you down. What I'm saying is, we in America need to realize we need to look to our God and trust in Him, not in this world. We in our churches today need to look to God. We're taking on the look of the world. We're trusting in the world. We're putting our faith in worldly programs. And the world don't have the answer for us. We got the true and mighty God that'll help us. And He's the only one that will. I'm saying as a church, we need to realize that we need our trust in God Almighty. That's why we need to get down and pray. Crying out to God, asking for God's help in everything we do. Just beseeching the Lord. Say, "Lord, we need your help. We're an unworthy people. We don't know what to do. We need your help. Please guide us. Please direct us. Show us, God, what we need to do." That way you're putting your trust in the right place. You see, willing to be used. Yes, willing to be used. But oh, let God tell us what it is we need to do. Amen. So we find in verse 7 it says, "For the Egyptians shall help in vain, and to no purpose therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to set still." Egypt would just set still. And he said it was in vain that you go down to Egypt. It's in vain that we go to the world and seek for help for our churches. The world honors their own. If you don't believe that, Sonny Bono was just killed on a ski slope. I don't take no pleasure in that. But did you see how the world honored him? Oh, I mean, they honored him. They said all wonderful things about him. I told Donna, I said, the world loves its own. The world will always love its own. Folks, but God's people will love its own too. And we ought to trust in the true and living God. Amen. I won't go back there, but... Russia had sent ships in with nuclear armament on them into Egypt ports.
We was at a place where we was almost to the Holocaust, nuclear Holocaust. Nuclear weapons was almost used in 1973. Do you know the only thing that stopped it? We know God stopped it, but you know who he used? And some of you are going to say, you mean he used him? Yes. President Richard Nixon put on a world red alert, put our forces on alert all over this world, and Russia backed down. You ought to read that story sometime. It's amazing. But God used President Nixon to put that alert. See, Russia didn't think they would do that. And he put this alert on, worldwide alert, forces on alert, all over, everywhere. And Russia backed down. That was because of a great and wonderful God. But we almost waited too late. Back in Ezekiel, I won't go back there, 38th chapter of Ezekiel, when the great northern tribes comes down against Israel. They'll come down, and it says Sheba and Dathan, and I can't remember the other country, and I think it's representative of probably the Western powers, will say, have you come to take a spoil? What do you think you're down there for? And they also will pull off acting and doing anything till Russia is down there on the hills of Israel. And of course, she ends up getting destroyed there, but not from the Western powers, but from God. God destroys them there on the hills of Israel. So what I'm saying is we sit back and take our time and we sit still. Well, that's because we got our faith in the wrong place. Our faith ought to be in God. In verse number 9 of chapter 30, he says that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. And once again, I've told you, I'm concerned about our country. I'm concerned about our churches. I don't know individually how you feel about it, but what I'm saying is, folks, God takes us to task for not hearing his word and minding it. His word. His word. His counsel. What he says ought to be done. That's what we've got to follow. You see. And we're living in a time when individuals, even Christians today, want to follow their own way. Whatever they want to do, they can figure out some way to do it and make themselves feel good about it and everything's all right. But that's not true. We've got to get back to the Bible, the Word of God, and follow what God says, you see. Verse number 10, he says, which say to the seers, see not, to the prophets, prophesy not, unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophecy deceits. Did you notice what he's saying to the prophets? Saying to the prophets, we don't want to hear these things that's going to bring judgment on us. We just want to hear smooth things. I mean, when we walk out of church, we want to feel good. We just want to feel safe and secure and everything's all right. In other words, a preacher, don't say anything about sin. Just say nice things to us so we can get up and just feel so good about ourselves. And even though we're living in sin, although we're not doing what God wants us to do, don't prophesy against us. Don't do that. Just say smooth things. That's basically what they've done in Israel. And I might say to you, the same thing is being done in pulpits across America. Saying those things that seem good to the people instead of those things that thus saith the Lord. You see, one man said, none are so blind as those who will not see unless it be those who will not let others see. And a preacher who will not preach is someone who will not let others see. A false prophet, and that's what he is, if he will not prophesy from the Bible, the Word of God, and prophesy things that are correct and right. This is a nation that needs to be warned about her sin, not cuddled under its chin. We need to cry out that we're in danger. I mean serious danger. All you have to do is look around you. And I think about that sometimes and I say to myself, Brother Ross, you've got to remember some of these people out here has never seen it any different. Some of our young people's never seen it any different than it is right now. Basically, it's getting worse, but they've never seen it. You wasn't there 58 years ago. You wasn't there. You don't remember what it used to be like. You don't remember how a nation looked to God and trusted God. You don't remember some of those things. All you've seen is what you're seeing now. All you know is abortion and sodomy and all of those things. But they're against the Word of God. And we're accepting those kind of things. We're accepting those things in the presence not only of our nation, but many times in churches they're accepting these things. And it's against God's Word, you see. So I'm simply saying to you, we need pulpits of fire with the Word of God that's not afraid to cry out against sin. And cry out and warn its people of this nation what is coming. We're in danger, folks. We're in deep danger in this great nation of ours. And we need pulpits of fire with that, crying out and saying, Look up, your redemption draweth nigh. Let's get right with God. Let's do right. Let's get back to the law. Get back to the Word of God. See, you need that. You need that as a people here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You need people crying out and warning about these things, you see. You preach separation, and boy, you're already marked off as one that is some kind of nut. But look, can I say to you, the Bible not only preaches it, it teaches it. It's where we got our preaching from. And did you realize that many years ago, they wouldn't allow some deacon and his wife to go out and bathe in bathing suits and look like harlots? That would never have been allowed. But nowadays, it's all right, even in our churches. Shame. Word of God has not changed. Men have changed. See, separation is correct. It is right for us to preach separation. We're to be a separated people. Some of you, the reason you don't understand that, you've never seen anything different. You never seen it back when people just simply dressed right because it was right to dress right. You haven't seen it. So you think it's all right to do it. It isn't all right to do it. It's against the Bible, the Word of God. So preachers still need to be preaching about separation. Separated lives. Godly living. Looking godly, you see. Some man said to me the other day, he said, Brother Ross, he said, do you still preach that women ought to dress like women and men ought to dress like men? I said, well, yeah, I still preach that. He said, you know, he said, I've kind of gotten away from that. He said, I don't say much about that anymore. I said, is that right? I said, was it ever right? If it was ever right, it's right now. Just because times change, what changes that? Does it change the Bible, the Word of God? If it was ever right, for me to preach, that is right now for me to preach it. Amen? And we ought to do that. We ought to preach it. And that's what's happened in our nation, in our churches. We see all this mess. Man said the other day, he said, I'm so sick and tired in my church. I'm so sick and tired of it. I don't know what to do about it. He said, every time I look up, some girl's coming in shorts right into our church and dressed like harlots into our church. He said, I don't understand it. He was so confused and he was so messed up. He was so aggravated and so angry. And he ought to be. He said, I'm so sick and tired of that. Well, you see this in your churches nowadays, folks. It's supposed to be all right, but it isn't. Amen? God's people ought to be different because we're God's people. I understand the world being the way they are. I don't have any trouble with that. The world is always going to go the other way. But God's people ought to be different because we're trusting in a true and living God, you see. I remember one day a lady said to me, she's an older lady, going out the door. She said, Brother Ross, so I just want you to know something. Sometimes the only thing I want to do is get away from your cat of nine tails. That's what she said. I said, why you won't get away from it? She said, you hit me every time. She said, you just rake me with it. I said, isn't that good? Isn't that what I'm supposed to do? I'm supposed to be part of the preaching of the Word of God? Amen. We ought to feel the cat of nine tails once in a while from God's Word. It isn't the preacher doing it for it, folks. It's the Word of God doing it to us. We need to straighten up, you see. Let me tell you something. Everybody out here, including this preacher, from time to time, the Word of God gets into their tater patch. You ever heard that statement? Get into somebody's tater patch? Well, let me tell you, there's not the Word of God will get into all of our tater patches. It has a right to do so. But here's an illustration. You've probably heard it before. Did you ever notice that if you threw a rock into a pack of dogs, which one is it that hollers? Huh? One gets hit. I mean, that other dogs don't holler. It's the one that gets hit that begins to holler. Do you know that's true in preaching? I mean, you throw the Word of God out there. Now, some of them just simply say, no, I'll do right. I'll try to straighten that up. I'll do right. Others, they bark and they growl. You know why? Because they've been hit. So if you want to be real spiritual tonight, don't bark and growl. When you go out the door tonight, just smile. Amen. Say good preaching, Brother Ross. Glad you preached it. You know, amen. Because if you bark and growl, I'm going to know something. Amen. You see, so I have a feeling we're going to have a happy group going out that door tonight. But a lot of it is this. When it comes to preaching, of the Word of God and things that God tells us and teaches us. It's the spirit in which we receive it. You know, the Word of God is going to hit you, and it's going to hit me. But it's the spirit in which we receive it. It's by looking and saying, you know what, God's Word did hit me, you know, and there's some things I need to straighten out, and I've got to look at that, and I've got to let God deal with me and help me through that. That's the right spirit. Amen? That's what we ought to do, is just let God's Word deal with us and work with us, you see. There's been people all down through the years that I've preached, and some has been mad at me, and some's been happy with me, and all kinds of things. In fact, I heard one preacher said, if you don't make some people mad, he said, you're not preaching right. And I think there's a lot of truth in that, because the Word of God is going to cause some to get angry, to get mad, you see. But let me say something to you. I'm going to still just do my best to preach. I'm not going to do it to hurt you. That's not my desire. But I am going to preach to you. You know why? Because I want you to trust in the true and living God. And I want you to believe His Word. And I don't want you to be said about you that was said about Israel here in verse number 9 at the end of it, that will not hear the law of the Lord. I don't want that said about you, and I don't want it said about me that I'm a preacher that just prophesies smooth things. I don't want that. I want to be just preaching the Word of God and let God deal with you and me in things of our life that needs to be taken care of. You know, I found out in the years of preaching, found out one thing about young people. Now, sometimes young people, they've got funny ways of looking at things simply because they're young people. They haven't come to maturity yet. I remember I was there. Doesn't mean they're always wrong, but it means that they don't a lot of times look at something in a mature way because they're not yet mature. I found out, I don't know about you, but I found out when I got around 20, 21 years, 22 years of age, I began to look at things a lot different. Now, I don't know how you did, but when I got around that age, I began to look at things a lot different than I did when I was 15 years old. I began to look at things a lot more mature. Hopefully I growed even to maturity in those years in between. But when I got at that age, I definitely began to look at things a lot differently than I did when I was 15 years of age. So I understand this, you see. But under normal circumstances, most of the time I find out that young people are willing to try. I find that out. I'm just saying that. Most of the time they are willing to listen and do the best they can. I've seen their faults and their virtues. And we need to condemn their faults, or at least reprove their faults, but we need to commend their virtues. We need to say, young people, thank you for being what you are in many areas of your life. Thank you for doing right. Because many times I realize and I understand that a lot of times what takes the attention is the faults, because usually we have to deal with the faults, and so they take a lot of our attention. But let me say to you tonight, young people, I'm very thankful and grateful for those things that you do right and proper. And when we rebuke you for your faults, it's because we want you to be better for God than you've ever been. We can see down the road. We can see the consequences of things, and we want you to understand them. And we want you to be something that God can use one of these days. And so don't get mad at us when we rebuke that which is wrong in your lives, because it's right for us to do so. We have to do it. But at the same time, I want to commend you on those things which are proper and good that you are doing. I want to thank you for being that kind of young people. I'm not going to look down my nose when they come to trouble in their life. I don't know whether all of you know it or not, but we've had young people down through the years that's run into some pretty hard problems, troubles in their life. And I don't remember any of them being able to say to this preacher, you just looked down your nose at me and didn't care about me. I've always tried to care about our young people. When they was in trouble, when they needed help, I want to be there. I want to be a blessing to them. Now, I can't commend them for their wrong. I got to tell them when they're wrong, and I got to reprove them for their faults. But I also want to be there to help them.
I want to be a blessing to you. I won't compromise with you. I won't go against God's word, but I will be a help to you. And I'll be a blessing, I hope, and an encouragement to you because I want to do that, but I will not compromise with you. But I will stand with you if you want me to, if you're willing to do right. Amen. I'll stand with you, and I'll tell you the truth. I won't lie to you. Same with God's people, not just the young. Won't you know something? I do love you. And because I preach the way I preach, I'm proving to you that I love you. I'm proving it. Because I want you to be the very best for God that you can be. Amen? And so, what I'm simply saying to you tonight is this. Trust God in everything you do. Don't look to Egypt for your help. That's the wrong place to look. Look to God and trust in the living God and know that He loves you. And quit looking around for outside help. Trust God. Believe in Him. Seek His counsel from the Word of God. Know that He loves you. And He will help you. He's your strength. He's your fortress. He's your refuge. He's everything you need. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again today for the Word of God, for your goodness and kindness. And certainly we pray again tonight to learn from this tonight from Israel how they trusted in Egypt. Lord, they ought not have done that. They ought to trusted in you. And I pray that we'll learn from that mistake and we too will not seek the help of Egypt, the world, and the surrounding things like that, but we will trust in a true and living God who can do anything that needs to be done for us. We want to thank and praise you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.